Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so were you telling the players about all the times you were listening to Snoop Dogg back in the day and really enjoyed his work
so
in the
cool.
early days?
I actually, you know, I listen to all kinds of music. You guys know that. I love Snoop Dogg. That was so cool. I didn't know he was coming in the locker room, though. I was like, you know, break it down on Snoop. That was pretty cool, man. That was awesome.
That's such a lie. He does not love Snoop Dogg.
I ain't going to lie to you, man. I mean, I would if I pulled up next to Bill O'Brien in a big body BMW at a red light and he was banging Snoop, I'd have a newfound respect. I mean, I don't call it what you want to call it, but he just does not strike me as a guy that would be banging Snoop driving down Kirby on his way to NRG. No. But if he were, I'd be like, okay.
He's a Springsteen guy. He's
okay,
a Springsteen
B-O-B.
Guy. 100% Springsteen.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, to each their own. I mean, I go from one end of the spectrum to the other. I mean, I go from country to rap. I mean, and there's not much in between outside of a couple of specific artists. But
I'm right there.
I'd be pleasantly surprised if B.O.B. was had a little Snoop Dogg doggy style banging on his way to NRG this morning.
Clint Sterner, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you live, Little Woodrow's Midtown. John McClain's going to join us at 4 p.m., so we'll hear from the general. We're going to go down memory lane and look ahead to this football weekend. I bring up Snoop Dogg because one of Snoop Dogg's buddies – might have the biggest impact on this game, and he might actually have revenge on his mind even more than the guy that we're about to hear. You'll hear about that in just a sec. But before we do, Kareem Jackson, 9 seasons with the Houston Texans. He's returning to his former home. He met with the media, and he discussed the emotions going through his head and how he is giving away the Texans' secrets to a new team. Here's Kareem Jackson with the media yesterday.
You go back to Houston. Is it personal this week for you?
No, it's not personal. For me, it's another game on the schedule. I mean, obviously with me having ties there for 9 years, and, you know, I mean, never been in this situation going back to a place where I played before, but be good to see some familiar faces and stuff. But I mean, other than that, is, you know, it's another game on the schedule, you know, and I prepare the same way I prepare any other week.
Are you getting your input more this week than typical, whether it's the coaches or your teammates?
Just try to help, you know, I mean, obviously our offense with me being in that particular scheme for, you know, so long, I just try to help them as much as I can. But, I mean, you know, we got a ton of smart coaches and players. I mean, you know, they can look at the film and pretty much see, you know, what they want to do game plan wise. But, I mean, whatever they ask me, if I have, you know, if I know it or if I have any type of input, you know, I just try to help them as much as I can.
He plays for the Rams now. They played his former team, the Ravens, this year. And he said he wasn't going to divulge any information on his former team because it's the team he had just played for. Obviously, you're coming from the Texans. You just said you'd be willing to give some information.
Yeah, I mean.
You don't agree with Eric?
I mean, why wouldn't I give up any information that, you know, that I have or I can help him with? You know, I mean, that was my old team. This is my team now. You know, for me, it's all about playing for the guys in this locker room and playing for this organization. You know, anything I can give them to help, you know, I mean, it's all in the name of winning, in my opinion.
You said it's just another game, but what do you expect the emotions to be like when you step back out onto that field that you spent almost a decade on?
It'll be pretty emotional. And honestly, it hasn't really hit me yet. I mean, obviously, just preparing this week, but I'm sure once I get there and get in the stadium and start to see, you know, a lot of people that, you know, I call my friends and, you know, a lot of the guys that I play with, you know, it'll definitely be very emotional for me. Just try to, you know, keep that to a minimum as much as possible and, you know, just continue to focus on, you know, what we're there for.
It's former Texan safety Kareem Jackson, now a member of the Denver Broncos, talking about the return to Houston. He kind of just rolled his eyes at the notion that Eric Weddle wouldn't give information about his former
it's
team
foolish.
To his current team.
It's foolish. I mean, I remember being in that situation, and literally guys, the coach would go, okay, Kareem Jackson was in Houston for 9 years. He knows these guys. Kareem, can you get up in a team meeting or in a defensive meeting or, in a, you know, and talk to the guys and literally highlight each player that you have any kind of inside information, which would be, I would think, would be Deshaun. It would be Hopkins for sure.
Especially.
It'd be Fuller for sure. It would be Bill O'Brien for sure the play caller. So, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that he would do that for the defense. And then more than likely, he would spend 30 minutes with the offense saying, hey, Romeo Crennel likes his corners in this particular coverage, which they play 40% of the time, to do this. If they're playing man, Romeo Crennel loves for his corners to play outside or inside technique, to jam or play cushion. There is no doubt about it that it is a big-time advantage to have Kareem Jackson in your locker room, in your meeting rooms, scouting and giving a self-scout, so to speak, or a Texan scout of what he's seen the last 9 years. Zero doubt about it.
Clint Sterner, Landry Locker, live at Little Woodrow's. You got to think he's going to be looking for some revenge, but there's another guy that's going to be looking for revenge. It's coming off a pretty good game and a pretty good return for the Houston Texans, and that would be Bradley Roby, cornerback coming off a game against the Patriots after about a month out in which he had an interception and a sack. Did you know there was a time a long time ago early in his career when Bradley Roby sat down with Snoop Dogg?
I did not know that.
Well, here's a little piece of that, Clint.
Okay.
I'm making plays, bro.
Is it study or was it just right place, right time?
I don't know. I think it's just, I just make plays, bro.
That's what you do? hey, but ain't no other way to put it. Simple and plain. I make plays. One thing about me, I make plays too. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, like, I do the studying and all that stuff, but I don't know. It's like my whole life, I just always made plays. So
you spontaneous and instinct.
Yeah.
Telling you, man.
How did? Is that, was that really him?
Yeah, that was him.
Come on, man. Yeah. What's the background with him and Snoop?
Snoop Dogg had a little bit of an internet radio show, and I just guess he liked Roby.
Is Roby a California kid? Is he a West Coast kid?
I don't think so. I think he's an Ohio guy. I think he might actually be an Ohio
That's
guy, too.
That's nice. That is quality. I love Snoop Dogg. I've told you this before. Snoop Dogg is in my top 10. I'd pay money to handshake.
Oh, yeah.
Snoop
Dogg.
You got
to get a pick with Snoop Dogg. Or else,
well, I mean, I think a pick, too. I put a little
he's
more
from
value
Georgia.
In him.
Roby's from Georgia.
Okay. I put a little more value in a good firm handshake with some.
I don't think
contact,
he wants you to be firm.
And I tell you, I mean, I ain't gonna squeeze.
I think Snoop Dogg wants you to give you the
damn,
like, the dab dog. And hug.
No. I mean,
is that an RC Figgy?
No, there's no doubt that. Okay, that's on you, right?
That's on me.
That's on you, right? No, I mean, look, I ain't never met a man. I don't care where he's from or what color his skin is. I ain't never met a man that don't appreciate a good firm handshake.
Nah, it can be overdone. It can be overdone.
Well, the handshake can be overdone.
The firm
but
handshake
that's on
can
me.
Be overdone, bro.
That's on me.
Have you ever shook Adrian Peterson's hand?
No.
Oh my God, dude! I thought people were exaggerating about it, so I tried to be brave. I couldn't even hold a pencil for a week.
Well, there you go. Adrian Peterson, he appreciates a good firm handshake.
Nah,
then.
It's bully stuff by him. I saw him at the studio again. I saw him at the studio again,
yeah.
And I just said, hey, what's up? And I just, like, dabbed him. I was like, I'm not shaking that again.
Right.
I ain't shaking that again.
Yeah, no. It's nice firm. I mean, it's like when you throw a football. You know, you can't squeeze it too hard. You can't squeeze the air out of the ball. You got to have a nice firm grip and let that thing rip. It's just like a handshake, just nice, little firm, good contact, good eye contact, shake the hand. And Snoop is in my, he's in my top 10 of athletes and musicians and celebrities I'd pay good money to shake the hand and pay the respect.
We might have to go through that list next week and get your top 10
okay.
there. But a man who has shook the hand of Snoop Dogg, Bradley Roby, talking about how great it is to be back for the Houston Texans in December when the games matter most.
December football is the most important football. So everything that happened in the past is over, and it's all about just continuing to go up. And when the season's over and the playoffs come, you want to be playing your best ball. So that's all really working towards.
Talked about it yesterday, Lock Dog, right? Some teams, if they're trending up, I don't care if you win 14 games and you get a first-round bye, you want to be trending up the last two, three, 4 weeks of the season, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want – that's why people have such a tough decision of, do you rest guys week 17? Do you rest guys week 16? It's a tough decision to make, right? You want to be trending up. And so Bradley Roby hit the nail on the head. It doesn't matter what the schedule is. All it matters, I mean, what the record is, all that matters is you're getting in and then you're improving and you're trending upward at the right time when the playoffs hit. That's all you can ask for.
And we just heard K-Jack talk about how emotional it's going to be for him to face his former team. Bradley Roby feels the same way, but he also says that the Denver Broncos will always have a special place in his heart.
You know, everything. You know, they drafted me as a young 21-year-old kid, you know, with some off-the-field problems, you know, and not problems, but situations, I'll put it like that. And, you know, they believed in me, you know, and, you know, thankfully I've been able to, you know, get past the things that I was dealing with and have been a great guy. You know, I feel on and off the field. And I appreciate them once again, man, just for everything because, you know, a lot of teams, you know, passed on me. And they still saw something in me. For that, I owe them everything.
It's all right to have problems, Brad. Hey, Bradley, it's all right to have problems, baby. We all got them. We all got them. It's okay. It's okay.
It happens.
It happens to the best of us,
I mean,
baby.
They're in their early 20s. That's the whole thing, like, with me. I can't judge anyone in their early 20s having problems in college because God knows if the limelight had been on me.
What about 35?
Well, you know, that's a different thing.
It's a little different.
It's a judge-free zone, though, here.
Hey, man, you ain't got to check up on it, but we understand what you mean, man. We're just living in a world where a man can't freely say, hey, I had some problems off the field when I first got in the league. I understand the checkup right there, Bradley Roby, but no concerns, baby, whatsoever.
No concerns. It's going to be fun to see who gets the best of their former team between Bradley Roby and Kareem Jackson. You'll hear it right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610 at noon on Sunday, beginning with pregame with Sean and Seth. Hashtag Tennessee tune-up.
Damn you, Lock Dog. Hey, Georgie, I'm gonna have to give him old five piece over here. Huh? Come on, man.
What's that Roy Jones line? I two piece dudes for a living. I ain't talking about chicken. It was a song with Mike Jones. He said, I'm Roy Jones. You can see how I'm living. I two piece dudes for a living. I ain't talking about chicken.
I like your rap
really
voice, bro.
Jam.
I
was trying to sound like Roy Jones.
That was nice right there.
Come by,
put something together.
Little Woodrow's Midtown today before 6 p.m. Register to win Texas Bowl tickets from our friends at Papa John's Houston. Also come by to register some Kansas tickets. They're going to be at Smart Financial Center on December the 7th. It's an outrageous, and I mean outrageous, football weekend. It's starting at 7 o'clock. Get your ass up here to Little Woodrow's because there's championship implications. This ain't no Maxion. This ain't no tune-up. This is championship implications starting at 7, taking you all the way to Sunday night. We are going to be football drunk this weekend. And in the spirit of that, Clint Sterner and myself are going to tell you the do's and don'ts when consuming America's game. That's next.
Bye, Jones.
Roy Jones, they call me the one hitter quitter, cause when I get up in the ring, I'm knocking out pushing house and body head. You know we ain't tripping our two piece dudes for a living and I ain't talking about chicken.
I wasn't lying.
That was it. Was that Roy Jones?
With Mike Jones.
I never knew that. I'd heard that multiple times, but I did not know that was Roy Jones literally in the song.
It is. Clint Sterner, Landry Locker live at Woodrow's out here in Midtown. Come by, say hi. Massive football weekend, Clint.
Huge.
Starting at 7 o'clock, there's going to be championship implications. Utah versus Oregon, Pac-12 championship game. The winner of that game, assuming that LSU beats Georgia, could potentially be in the driver's seat to make the national championship. However, you start your Saturday morning off at 11 with the other two teams that have something to say about that in the Big 12 championship, Oklahoma and Baylor. Then you're going to see the SEC championship with Georgia trying to get in. So much to watch, so much to consume. I'm not even mentioning the fact that there are like 3 5-star NFL games, and of course the Texans are playing. How does one consume this much football?
Toes up. Toes up around. Look, it can be outside on the outdoor, little outdoor living area, right? Around the pool with the fam, friends. It can be. Depending on how the night goes, I might catch them first few games. I may catch on the couch or maybe even in the bed. Just flip over there and turn it on. But it's going to start tonight. I got some friends and some family coming up. We're going to grab a little dinner after the show tonight.
Okay.
So it might start tonight right here at Little Woodrow's or somewhere in this area right here in particular.
The thing is, you know, not everybody has a patio with TVs outside, right, Figgy?
Well,
I don't either. I mean, he's talking about watching right there. My man Clint just rolling deep.
I hear you, J-Lo. Yeah, no, I don't have one. My sister-in-law has a nice one. My cousin's got a nice back patio, and then he got old bootleg TV way up in the corner of the wall. It's like, man, what? Come on, man.
There you go.
So, but I don't complain about other people's setups. I just go over there and enjoy the festivities. It's definitely friends and family making memories for me when it comes to football, college football or pro football. There's no better way to watch it.
I think the best way to watch football for me is you get you about $150, $200 budget, whatever.
Oh, here you go.
And you try to multiply. You just try
you
to multiply that bread.
You got a gambling problem. You got a gambling problem, or you got a money problem?
No, I don't. I don't have a gambling problem.
I don't either. I got
swing
a money
for
problem.
The fences. I swing. I just swing for the fences. I think it's absolutely fun. Sports bar is good, well, but I mean, you got to be around the right people, and you got to be the right scene.
Fiends thinks it's fun too. I mean, they think it's fun. I mean, people that are addicted to gambling think it's fun. That's okay.
I mean, I'm not like betting the rent.
No, that's okay. Not yet.
I mean, I ain't betting the rent or nothing like that.
Not yet. No, I'm with you, man. Throw a couple bets down, especially, you know, unless I feel really good about a certain team. I don't like to bet pick'ems. I don't like to bet, you know, 2 points, 3 points,
like
one and a half. This weekend, every game. I said this earlier. I don't know how many. What is there? 10 games? 9 games?
There's 9 games. Okay, 5 that really, really, really matter as far as college.
Well, to people that are out there placing bets, they all matter.
They're all the same. That's why you bet on the preseason. Someone frowns upon it. Hey, it pays me the same, homie.
That's right.
Unders in week 4.
Well, the thing is, there's 9 games, and literally 2 of them are 6.5, which are basically a touchdown spread. Every other game is bigger than a touchdown. Got some 9.5. You got a 15.5. You got a 28.5 in the ACC championship game. Come on, man. Those are the kind of games I like to look at.
Yeah, I'm almost thinking about taking that 28.5.
Virginia. Was it Virginia plus 28.5?
I mean, they're not good, but, I mean, damn.
I mean, not good is one thing, but you're in the championship game and steal 28?
It's crazy.
Man, 28 plus a lot of points, man.
It's a ton. And Clemson, I threw this out there, but before we get to something that you're going to tell me I lost my damn mind, which is fine.
I've done it before.
It happens more than once. See, there it is. Who is the person that you don't want to watch games with? Because there's always that one person you don't want to watch games with. I don't want to watch games with the guy that thinks he could do what these guys are doing out there.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that don't – that there's nobody that I don't – that I know that I watch games with that I don't want to watch games with, right? I mean, there's things that annoy me. I'm going to tell you, Linda Gale, moms, I know you're out there listening. Hey, Linda Gale will get in that TV. Now, I got to look up and say, Ma, they can't hear you. I mean, they can't hear you, baby. It's okay. I mean,
how many Miller Lights in?
It don't matter. It's sober. She do it sober. She gets – here's the deal. She does it sober, and when I say, Ma, tone that thing down a little bit. Damn, we're in the house. You know, she'll tone it down. She's got about, I say, 6 the number. If she gets over 6 Miller Lights in her, she flips me the bird and tells me to shut the hell up and go outside if I don't like it. And she goes right back to yelling at the TV, right? So I got that going on. And then my cousin Head, his pops Forrest is he's one of them old boys that he watches the game and dog cusses everybody on the screen.
Yeah,
he does that quite often. Well, my cousin, which is his son, obviously, he's pretty tough on him, man. He's pretty tough on Bill O'Brien.
That's
pretty
passion,
tough on Deshaun Watson.
We need that.
From
That's
time
passion.
To time. It's the expectations now. It's one of those you got to go, golly, come on now. But that's – so that not necessarily – I love watching games, and I love giving them hell, and we love cussing and discussing because of all the things I just mentioned. So I don't really have anybody that I don't want to watch the game with. Even that I can remember going, golly, I ain't interested in that.
It's going to be absolutely nuts.
I'll tell you I'll tell you who it is. I can't name them because I don't have the person named, but the person that doesn't care about the game and just wants to talk and I can't hear what the commentators are saying, because a lot of times I like to hear what the commentators are saying.
Yeah.
You know, doing in our business, you can pick up a lot of food for thought and you can pick up a lot of
nuggets,
a lot of support.
Notes.
Yeah, well, when you're sitting there and you're going, man, Deshaun's having a great game, and the commentator comes out and says, man, he's completing 78% of his ball, boom, boom, you're just giving support for your point right there. So when somebody's yakking in my ear and I can't hear what's going on, that usually gets under my skin a little bit.
The scum of the earth, before we play the latest installment of Has Landry Lost His Damn Mind, the scum of the earth is the person who doesn't have a rooting interest, but they just decide they're going to root against you.
Yes.
They're just going to root against your squad just because they're bored and they want to act like this is like a board game or something
I
like that.
I cried when I was a kid.
Yeah,
my cousins,
to cry too.
My cousins and my brother, they all ganged up on me. I believe it was an NFC. I remember. How do I remember this? It was an NFC championship game. You can tell me the years because you know it was an NFC championship game between the Cowboys and the 49ers.
That was 1993, the first time. Wait, when they lost? Oh, so you're talking 90. You're talking 94.
The Cowboys lost.
They went down 21-0. It was in 94 because they were going for a three-peat. This was Switzer's first year. Eric Davis, Troy Aikman goes back first series. Boom! Eric Davis, pick six.
Hey.
And then Deion should have been called for that pass interference on the 5 too, and it would have tied the game up.
Hey, relax. I just asked if you remember the damn game I'm talking about.
Just
you. I didn't need all the damn play-by-play, like,
you know.
Dog. But hey, look, I'm in the bunk beds, Locke. Me and my two cousins and my brother, we're all in my cousin's room, and they could care less, but they knew that I was rooting for the Cowboys. And they literally, I cried that night because the Cowboys were tearing them up, and they were picking on me the whole time, talking trash to me. All of a sudden, they were all 49ers fans.
Yep, it happened. Yeah, that was Deion's best year of his career, by the way. He was good. Man, he was good that year. I mean, he was great all the time, but, man, he was good
that
year.
Will there ever be another prime?
With these roles, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm talking about a guy that is locked down, locked an entire receiver out of the game or an entire half of the field down without any help, without a great rush. Now, they had great rushes. I get it. I mean, I'm not saying that those teams didn't have a good rush. But that dude would have been prime time regardless of what team he went to and regardless of what was going on at the line of scrimmage in front of the quarterback he was against. Just he was the real dude. I don't know if there'll be another one.
Just absolutely beasting it. I'm gonna on the back end, on the backside of this break, I'm going to tell you what I think that two college football teams should do, and I think you're going to say that I lost my damn mind. We're also going to hear from Romeo Crennel, talk about the Rockets' win, and Clint Sterner might have a new favorite baseball player, and it has nothing to do with what he did on the field. That's next. Ann Landry Locker, we're live. Little Woodrow's Midtown. Come by before 6. Register for tickets to the Texas Bowl. Also got tickets to see Kansas. You don't want to miss that concert. We're going to be here very shortly on the 7th at the Smart Financial Center. That is a date if I've ever seen it. You got to wine and dine, take them there, and I guarantee if you don't seal the deal there, you're either waiting for marriage or you just don't want to do it, because when you hear them perform, I'll tell you what, panty-dropping music. Spanish Station of the Houston Texans, Mega 101. Is having their 9th annual Radiothon in benefit of Texans Children's Hospital. If you're interested in contributing, you can visit mega101fm.com. All money collected stays local to help our kids in Houston. Texans Children's Hospitals, by the way, never turn down a kid because of the bank accounts. So it's a great cause. Go to mega101fm for more information. Clint, I want to throw something at you.
All right.
Because it's championship week.
Okay.
It's championship week in college football.
That's right.
And I think it's safe to say that regardless of what happens to LSU and Ohio State, they can afford to lose and they are still going to be in the college football playoff, right?
You are correct.
Why not play your backups in this game and let the guys rest for the college football playoff? We see injuries all the time. We've seen guys go down. We saw Tua go down in a game that they actually needed to win. Why is it that these guys have to sit there and go toe-to-toe with people trying to kill them, basically, that don't have as much to play for? What is stopping Ohio State and LSU and Orgeron from taking it easy and treating this like maybe play a half, treat it like a preseason game?
Well, I mean, because their goal from the beginning of the year was to win the conference, right? I mean, there's a lot of coaches that are hired and fired off of the fact that they either win or they do not win their conference or their division. So that would be my first response to that. You guys, that's an extreme take to sit them boys out, to sit them out, though. Because here's the deal.
Well, I mean, what happens if say your boy from LSU, the quarterback,
Joe Burrow,
Joe B. What if he gets hurt?
Yeah, you know, there's definitely some risk there.
You were moving on regardless.
Here's the deal, though. Are they? I mean, I think so. If I'm on the college football playoff committee and I'm sitting there, I would feel pretty comfortable right now to say, yeah, they're moving on regardless. But are they?
Yes.
I mean, it's one of those things where I don't know. I don't know. I'm saying if I'm them, right? If I'm LSU or I'm Ohio State, I'm not leaving it in anybody else's hands. Okay. One of our very first goals is win all your home games, right? Your second goal is to win your division and your conference, and your third goal is to win your conference overall, and the fourth goal is if you get into college football playoffs, you go win your bowl game or you go win a national championship. One of those goals from the jump has been the conference championship, and so I think that's it. And I do not believe that any coach in their right mind would feel comfortable leaving that decision up to this college football playoff committee.
Yeah, they won't do it, but not everyone's as smart as me, Clint.
That's right. I mean, hell, man, you ought to be with these. Look, if you with them extreme takes, if you won, you'd definitely be in a league of your own. You definitely get paid.
Joe Burrow, 3 touchdown passes. Let's sit down.
Oh,
let's
you want to throw 3 and then sit?
Throw 3 and then sit. We'll treat it like a preseason game.
Okay. Now that if you go in there, I don't know about treating it like a preseason game, but if they go in there and build a big lead, maybe.
You have to. Those guys are gonna be headhunting for
you. You don't have to. No,
I mean those guys are gonna be headhunting for you, Clint.
Chief,
you're already in.
If think about this. If Ed Orgeron went out there and did something like that and lost the SEC.
You know that crazy SOB ain't doing that.
Well, no, just think about it. And then he, let's say he gets into the college football playoffs and doesn't win it. Now you've got a coach that has never won in the college football playoffs, and he's never won a SEC title. There's no way it's happening. There's too much on the line. There's too much prestige and too much value that comes with owning a conference championship. That is just way too much of a stretch. It'll never happen.
Yeah, it won't. I'm just saying it should.
Clint. Okay, fair
especially
enough.
Especially, and I'll say this: all these jamokes talking about expanding the playoffs and 8 and 16.
Yeah.
I'm damn sure sitting my guys out if there's 8. If there's ever an 18 playoff and I'm LSU, hey, red shirts, get in there and get some experience. Get some experience because at that point, there is no payoff for this because the seating's jacked up,
but
too.
But there's payoff. You're
I know the conference championship.
I mean, the next year when you're negotiating a contract and you can say, hey, I've won the conference – look at Bill O'Brien right now. I mean, up until last week, I mean, I think you could, let's say up until this year, you could say, hey, man, there's no signature wins games that he's won since he's been here. But he could go to the drawing table and say, I won, what was it, 3 of the last 4,
mm-hmm.
4 of the last 6.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yep.
Division title. So, I mean, there's value in that. That man got an extension and got paid based off of that fact right there alone. You didn't hear Ron Rivera?
I heard Ron Rivera. He made it very clear he won 3 in a row.
He won 3 in a row,
and you know what? He got his ass fired despite
right.
it. You know, it wasn't enough for him.
Wasn't enough.
Speaking of Bill O'Brien, calling his defense on Sunday against the Denver Broncos, Romeo Crennel. Romeo Crennel in charge of the Texans defense. He's done a pretty good job this year, given the significant injuries. There was once upon a time when Romeo Crennel coached Kareem Jackson. This is Romeo Crennel talking about Kareem Jackson, now a member of the Denver Broncos.
He was the versatility. He had versatility. He played corner and played star for us. And particularly at the star, you have to get into the running game. And he was able to get in there and wasn't afraid to throw his body in there and things like that. So that's what I remember about him.
There ain't no doubt. It jumped off the screen. I mean, when you watch last year was my really good – it was the first dose of really studying the Texans, right? I mean, I didn't have no choice. I'm coming to work.
You better do that.
I got to study it. I got to break it down. And so last year was my first just little taste of having to do that. And now we do it on a daily basis. But back then it was just Thursdays. And when you watch the Texans play, it didn't matter who they were playing. It jumped off the screen that Kareem Jackson was a headhunter. He could absolutely tackle. And it wasn't the most violent. It wasn't like Big Al from up in Denver that does radio
Al
up in
Williams.
Denver, former Super Bowl, 2-time Super Bowl champion, right? And up in Denver, he compared him to Steve Atwater. I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit on that. Yeah. He's not hitting
anybody
like that.
Isn't that a fellow hog? You don't like people talking down. Isn't that water
Steve
a hog?
Steve Atwater was, yeah. He was a Razorback,
You don't want people putting your hogs in
well,
the same category.
I just don't see it as a even similar player, even though he is a phenomenal tackler of the ball carrier.
I mean, Atwater could have played linebacker.
There ain't no doubt. Today he would.
Yeah, I mean, Atwater was a head-hunting
Yeah, he was
dude.
A monster. There's no doubt.
We mentioned that Elway Super Bowl. I remember he knocked out his own teammate in that game. Serious. I was at Chili's with my dad watching. I still remember this when I was a kid. He knocked out his own damn teammate. They had to come out in a crucial drive.
The Christian Okoye hit was nasty.
I mean, he just lays the wood. Romeo Crennel, could I interest you in a stat, Clint?
Yes, absolutely,
he
always.
He is 11-1 against rookie quarterbacks. He's going to be facing Drew Locke this week. It's going to be the 13th time. Here's Romeo Crennel on why he's had this success against rookie QBs.
Maybe they're rookies and I'm more experienced, but I do not play not one down against a rookie quarterback. I'm never on the field. It's my guys who kind of do the job. Rookies, they are rookies, just like these rookies I got on my team. they're rookies, and they make rookie mistakes until they get experience, until they learn.
God, I hate coaches speak sometimes.
No, man, look. Here's the deal. You were at Stern Talk Live on Wednesday night. What I highlighted, particularly because the safeties and the DBs and the cover guys played so well, is exactly why he had success against Tom Brady, but because of a different reason, right? He is exactly why he gives rookie quarterbacks fits and rookie receivers fits, is because he'll show you one look pre-snap, and then he'll roll out of that sucker. And it's not like I remember the New York Giants, the game that I threw away in the second half up there against the Giants. They would give you like pre-snap, they were going to roll to cover three every time, and sometimes they'd stay, and then sometimes they'd bail back and play cover two, right? And so you had to get a good post-snap read on them every single time. But it was the same look every time. Like, you knew in your first two steps of your drop what the coverage was. And it was going to be one of two. What Romeo Crennel's doing is he's giving you a two look and rolling to man. He's giving you a blitz look and bailing to two. He makes those quarterbacks work after they snap the football between the ears. And that is a very, very difficult thing for college quarterbacks and young quarterbacks in this league to do. It's why we talk about Lamar Jackson, Lock Dog. We talk about everything that he does starts and stops with their ability to run the football, because it forces the defense to be simple. It forces the defense to commit early, and then the quarterback can see everything that's going on. There's no fooling him after the snap. So that doesn't surprise me at all that Romeo Crennel's had that kind of success. I didn't know that. I didn't know that stat.
11-1.
11-1 versus rookie quarterbacks, but it does not surprise me at all.
I gotta confess, I was cussing your ass out during that Giants game. I gotta be honest to you.
Well, look.
But here, I was also had a beef with you because I was in the stands when you beat the Longhorns in the Cotton Bowl. So there was kind of a double beef.
I knew something was going down. There was a little bit of a double beef. I didn't think about this either, but I was looking up some numbers this morning, and I realized that Drew Locke, when he did his little secure
Nipple
the bag,
rub. Yeah, he was bad.
It was at NRG.
Mm-hmm.
And it was versus your Longhorn.
Tom
so
Herman.
I was wondering
I was
why
there.
I wondered why you were so hard on Drew Locke and didn't want to just fess up and say, hey, man, Duke is slinging around the
no,
park.
No, I'll tell you what. No, based on what I saw at that game last time Drew Locke was at NRG.
Right, right.
If my team is facing Drew Locke,
you feel good about
I'm sending a damn limo to the hotel to pick his ass up. I can promise you that.
Well, that you know
hey,
what?
He can get the Uber Extreme, whatever. I'll pay the extra 25 for him.
You're going to
say, hey, make sure it's
Suburban.
Stocked, too. Hey, if he wants sparkling water or whatever, make sure he's got that, too. Send a limo to the hotel.
Yeah, he had
for
a rough day. The Texas Longhorns beat him. What was it, 33-16 that day?
Yeah, and they had like 10 guys out.
They beat up on them pretty good. So Drew Locke, he's taken an ass whooping at NRG before. I'm sure he'll take another one Sunday. But anyway, he did secure the bag there for at least one drive with one touchdown throw versus your Longhorns, and that must be a thorn in your side a little bit.
All good. Let's drink some Cowboys tears. It is the favorite drink here in Houston. Dallas Cowboys, a total disaster. They fall to 6-7 yesterday in a game in which you heard on Sports Radio 610, which you hear all Thursday night football games on Sports Radio 610. Jerry Jones, he was on our sister station, 105.3 The Fan, on the KNC Masterpiece earlier today. Normally, Jerry doesn't hesitate to answer questions. You can ask him anything. I've done it myself. Doesn't hesitate. But today was a little bit testy.
What answer do you have for how this team is playing right now?
We're not playing very well.
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together yourself. Now, we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
As a Cowboys fan, Jerry, we've got a lot
to go over. Now, go on with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning. And I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Hey, that may be the best soundbite of the season for me, man.
No, that's the best.
I mean, that is great. That is absolutely. We're going to have a nice little talk now. You just settle down.
Get your act together.
Look, what's going on in Dallas is completely unacceptable, and there's no doubt about it. Jerry is absolutely fuming absolutely fuming on that ride home. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't take one of his private jets instead of flying with the team. I'm going to say Jason Garrett's going to be fired by midweek.
Okay. I thought he was fired last Sunday. I was 100% certain.
Look, he's going to be fired by midweek, man. You got Michael Irvin out there talking about it. You got Troy Aikman out there talking about it. You got Jerry talking about his replacements already. I mean, literally, dude's mentioning candidates.
Yeah. Urban Meyer. I mean, Lincoln Riley, yeah, Clemson's OC.
Yeah, look, and if Urban Meyer is an option, then, man, bring that dude in. This
you know who'd be most happy about that?
Who?
Zeke.
Yes, no doubt. But, look, check this out. So bring him in here. Why? One, because they're going the wrong direction with Jason Garrett. The same voice calling up all the meetings and making the schedule is not going to – this team's not going to improve. This team's not going to all of a sudden light a fire under their tail with him calling the shots. But bring him in there. You don't need to replace anybody else right now. Bring him in there. He gets a month. He gets four games to see what kind of players he's dealing with, to see what kind of staff, which guys on the staff does he want to retain.
So you're saying fire Garrett and then just have him oversee and see what's popping.
If you know it and that's your guy, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, why not?
There's no doubt about it. Because then he gets a month, mm-hmm. again, to decide who in the hell he wants to keep around for the next season. I think that would be big time. That'd be super proactive. It'd be aggressive, but I just think that'd be big time.
And I mean, I think it would be good for Urban because I think coaching college is probably a little bit more stressful than coaching in the pros. He can just coach the game, man. I mean, he you saw him at Ohio State hunched over and stuff, and they had all the rumblings and stuff. But it might actually be easier for him to just flat out coach. Here's another soundbite that I know that you like.
Okay, come on.
Because I think you might have a favorite new baseball player.
Yes.
And he has nothing to do with what he does on the baseball field. But Blake Snell, Cy Young Award winner, he was doing a live stream yesterday while one of his teammates was traded. And this is what he said when that happened.
We giving fam up for Renfro and a damn slab prospect?
A what?
Slap D?
A slapstick, what do you say, prospect? Look, that is absolutely beautiful. Now, he's since then gone back, and he's apologized to the young fella and said he felt bad about – he said, I had no idea who he is. I feel bad about calling that name. But he was clearly a big fan of Fams and couldn't believe he was traded and was not happy with the organization. But you are correct. You are correct, Landry Locker. I got a newfound respect for my man Blake Snell. The fact that he referred to a guy he had never met in a fit of anger, he referred to that guy as a slapstick, is absolutely beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. Also beautiful, Rockets get a win last night, 119
yeah, they did.
To 109. We're about to be joined by John McClain, but before we do, there is a loophole named Rappin' Duke, also known as Splitty,
yep.
And he's created a song for us in anticipation of John McClain joining us. Here is Rappin' Duke.
Zom zom, piggy piggy, zom zom. Zom zom, piggy piggy, zom zom. B-Mac, OG, Brandon, Smitty, Smitty, zom zom. DW4 will put up fitty fitty, get some. Now we got Sterner and Landry spitting fire from 2 to 6, predicting a Bradley Roby touchdown on a lock pick 6. They're cussing and discussing from Little Woodrow's Midtown about the Texans game plan, giving us all their breakdowns. And don't forget Mad Dog at 420 getting high with his leg as he hikes on a Broncos W, because other than a tipsy OA, the Broncos will have no bite. Pilgrims.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, you know that's in real time, too, because my man, we're at Little Woodrow's Midtown.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real time right there.
It. Yeah, right
that's
there.
That's pretty solid.
Very, very nice. John McClain, he's about to join us. Texans beat the Patriots, and they're facing the Broncos. Let's see what he thinks about the notion that this is a Tennessee tune-up, and let's see if he agrees with Clint's keys to the game. That's next.
Get your damn act together.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.